Timmy wandered from one to the other, getting a titbit here and a scrap of ham there.
I think I can see another nut copse over there, the other side of the hill. I vote we go and see what nuts we can find, and then I suppose we ought to be thinking of going home. The sun is getting awfully low, Jew.
Yes, it is, considering it's only 2 o'clock. It's hardly showing above the horizon. Come on, then. Let's get a few more nuts and then we'll go back home. I love that long path winding over the cliffs beside the sea.
They all went off to the little copse, and to their delight found a fine crop of hazelnuts there. Timmy nosed about in the grass and brought mouthfuls of nuts to George.
Thanks, Timmy. Very clever of you. But I wish you could tell the bad ones from the good ones.
I say, the sun's gone, and it's getting quite dark. Julian, are you sure your watch is right?
It says just about 2 o'clock still. Gosh, I must have forgotten to wind it up or something. It's definitely stopped now, and it must have been slow before.
Silly ass. No wonder George thought it was long past lunchtime, when you said it was 1 o'clock. We'll never get home before dark now, and we haven't any torches with us.
That cliff path isn't too good to walk along in the dark, either. It goes so near the edge at times.
We'd better start back immediately. Awfully sorry about this. I never dreamed my watch was wrong.
I tell you what would be a better idea. Why don't we just take the path down into Beckton and catch the train to Kirin? We'll be so late if we walk back, and Mother will be ringing the police about us.
Good idea, George. Let's take the path while we can still see. It leads straight down to the town.
So away went the five as fast as they could. It was dark when they reached the town, but that didn't matter because the street lamps were alight. They made their way to the station, half running down the main street.
Look, there's Robin Hood on at the cinema here. Look at the posters. And what's that on at the hall over there? Timmy, come here! Oh, he shot across the road. Come here, Timmy!
He's running up the steps of the town hall. Look, there's a big dog show on there, and old Timmy must have thought he ought to go in for it.
He smelt the dogs there. Come on, let's get him, or we'll lose the next train.
The hall was plastered with posters of dogs of all kinds. Julian stopped to read them, while George went in after Timmy.
Some very valuable dogs here. Some beauties, too. Look at the picture of the white poodle. Ah, here comes Tim again, looking very sorry for himself. I bet he knows he wouldn't win a single prize, except for brains.
It was the doggy smell that made him go to see what was on. He was awfully cross because they wouldn't let him in.
Hurry up, I think I can hear a train coming.
They all raced down the road to the station, which was quite near. The train puffed in as they went to the booking office for their tickets. The guard was blowing his whistle as they rushed onto the platform. Dick pulled open the door of the very last compartment, and they all bundled in, panting.
Gosh, that was a near squeak. Look out, Tim. You nearly had me over.
The four children got their breath back and looked round the carriage. It was not empty, as they had expected. Two other people were there, sitting at the opposite end, facing each other, a man and a woman. They looked at the five, annoyed. Anne saw that the woman was carrying a shawled bundle in her arms.
Oh, I hope we haven't woken your baby. We only just caught the train.
The woman rocked the little thing and crooned to it, covering its head with a shawl. A rather dirty one, Anne noticed.
Is he all right? Well, cover her up more. It's cold in here.
The woman pulled the shawl tighter. The children lost interest and began to talk. Timmy sat still by George, very bored. Then he suddenly sniffed round and went over to the woman. He leapt up onto the seat beside her and pawed at the shawl. The man shouted at Timmy.
Stop that! Get down! Here, you kids! Look after that great dog of